Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, isn't it wonderful to serve an awesome God?
Amen.
An awesome God. I praise Him. Anybody else got another testimony? My honey buddy's got one. Okay, wow. She's got something secret going on here I don't even know about.
Oh, you've forgotten. Okay, I've been with my mother the past week because she had a mild heart attack, and so I got to go home Monday from the hospital, and so I didn't work much Monday night. And so Tuesday evening I was on the computer. Well, you know, last Sunday, Rosemary gave her testimony that she had been asking the Lord, according to Mark 11:23, that her eyesight be perfect, both near and far. And, of course, Jack Butler had done that, and both of them have passed their driving tests without having to have glasses. And she's down to the smallest reader. So Tuesday night, I'm sitting in there with my glasses on and my readers, which are 200s, and all of a sudden, I can't see. It's blurred. And I'm going, what is this? I take my glasses off, and I can see. Praise God. And so, because after Sunday, after hearing Rosemary, and of course I'd heard Jack a few months ago, and I'd been kind of saying it, but not really, you know, consistently. So after I heard Rosemary Sunday, well, I said it Sunday, I said it Monday, and I said it a little bit Tuesday. So anyway, I asked Rosemary to let me borrow her slightest readers, which are hundreds, and I said, oh, these are good. I can see with these. So my eyes are nearly perfect.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, good. You got one young lady? Come on up here. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory.
Well, we adopted our daughter 6.5 years ago, and she was born with food allergies. And Scott and Kip kept saying, Pastor Thurman could heal her if you listened to the tapes. And so we did. It took me a while to really listen and really get it. It took a while. I kept giving her drugs and more drugs and more drugs. And then I started really listening and reading the Word of God and really praying. And I had the church pray for her and another church pray for her. And at Weatherford Christian School, they prayed for her. And Scott and Kim were praying for her. And then one day God spoke to me and said, He said it really loud, and I sat straight up in bed on a Saturday morning, and He said, stop giving her that medicine or drugs.
Wow.
Right now. Right now. I went in there, and I threw it all away. I threw them all away, and she's better now. She hasn't had any drugs since then, and we're healing her from all those allergies.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Do we have any more? Hey, praise the Lord. The brother over here's got one. Praise the King. Boy, he looks sharp this morning.
Thank you. Anyway, Thurman, what I want to share with everybody today is that April 23rd of this year has been now 2 years. I've been completely delivered from drugs.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord.
And it's crystal meth. My family now, I was talking to my mother. She said, well, you know what, Leroy? She said, I done had enough about what you're talking about. She goes, your religion is just too, I mean, your church that you go to, I think they're doing something to you, son. I said, Mama, it's okay. She called my sister, and we went to go eat together and stuff, and then I left, you know. And my mother tells my sister, see, I told you something's wrong with him. He's not on drugs no more, but he's got Jesus. He keeps talking about him. But I'm just tickled today, you know, that God, He is working in my life, and since then I was in jail and stuff like that, but I've also helped, you know, about 200 young men to come to Christ, you know.
Amen.
And the Lord is moving in my body and in my spirit and stuff, you know. And one more quick testimony I want to share with y'all is that you know, from coming and listening to Thurman and his CDs and, you know, his teaching and stuff, I didn't know that athlete's feet was a demon living in my body. And I also had another demon living on my side of my, on my ribs. You know, because in wintertime come, I'd say, well, I got to go to the store, I got to get some lotion, I got to get ready because I know I'm going to be itching. But, you know, I've learned to cast that demon out of my body, and I knew it was because of sin. And, winter has came, and, you know, about to leave now, and I've not scratched one time.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And my feet are healed. They're smooth as they can be.
Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, glory to God. Those wonderful testimonies. We got one, Jack. You got one? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
you know, I like good preaching.
Amen.
I'm not
praise
excited
the Lord.
When you go to Midland, though.
Okay.
Last week, Thurman started talking about fasting, and I have fasted in the past, and you know, kind of gutted my way through it. But as he's taught us, if you ask God to help you through it, it's a breeze, and it really did. I tried this last week, and it really was just smooth.
Amen. Worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Since he talked about fasting, I'll mention this too, actually, about fasting. Now, you know, you often hear in the church, actually, that whenever you're fasting, you shouldn't tell anyone, because Jesus told his disciples about how the Pharisees would go out and fast and they would try to win glory. But if you're giving God the glory for it, it's all right, I think. In my thing, anyway. And about 2 months ago, I was talking with a man in the Walmart store about fasting. And he says, I can't fast anymore. He says, I'm too old for it. And I said, well, how old are you? And he said, I'm 69. I said, I don't fast anymore. He says, I never did fast very much, but I don't fast anymore. And so I went home and told my wife, I says, I'm going on a 40-day fast. And she said, you know, she wasn't too sure about that either. So I prayed to the Lord about it. And the Lord let me know. He says, okay. See, I'm on my way to 80 years old right now. I'm 79 and a half. And he says, but I want you to eat a meal every third day. And so I said, okay. I started out doing that. Well, I went about 12 days into that fast, I guess, eating a meal every third day, and discovered I hadn't lost any weight, and I was kind of surprised. And so I happened to be at a time when I was in devotions with the Lord anyway, and so I asked him, I said, Lord, I don't understand. Why haven't I lost any weight? Because that's one of the things I wanted to do, is lose a little bit of this extra belly I got here. And the Lord spoke to me. He talks to me in Thurman.
Praise the Lord, he does. Praise the Lord.
And Lord said, how do you expect to lose any weight? He says, you're drinking juice and eating a meal every third day. And I said, oh, Lord. I said, did you not want me to eat a meal every day? Did I misunderstand you? Did you not want me to eat a meal every third day? And he says, no, I want you to eat a meal every third day. Yesterday was the last day of my 40-day fast. Now, ordinarily in 40 days, you'd eat 3 meals a day would be, 120 meals? I've had 13 meals in the past 40 days. And this morning when I weighed, I was 2 pounds heavier than when I started my fast. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Oh, goodness. Now then, a whole bunch of people out there don't believe God's real anymore. They don't believe the devil's real anymore. I mean, it's amazing the people in church. I deal with people this week. I've had several people that I've dealt with that have had liver cancer. Do you know what causes liver cancer? Anger. That's exactly right. Anger and rage. You know, God tells you in His Word to get rid of that. And we're going to talk about some of those verses today. But, you know, I think about it as I've learned now that God set down a set of rules. And when He tells us not to do things, He's not just talking to hear His head rattle. You know, He's talking to save you and me from death. And we don't believe Him. We don't believe Him. So we go to, well, this is what I think about God. Well, I don't care what you think about God. I don't care what nobody thinks about God. I only care what the Word says about God. God is what His Word says. You can tell me anything you want. Well, you know, God would never make me sick. God would never kill my children. You know, I mean, I hear that all the time. In fact, I don't know what God's going to do this week, but I have had the privilege one more time. I was awestruck last year when I was asked to come to Fort Worth to the Baptist Seminary, the largest Baptist seminary in the country, to speak to a group of PhDs and guys working on their masters. I was awestruck that I got an hour and a half in class, but I've been invited back. This Friday, I'm going again. I praise God for that privilege to sit down, stand in front of all those men and women in that class and talk about the miraculous things that I've seen God do. Now, what's God doing? He's trying His best to get the attention of those Baptist preachers. He wants those men to know that I am God. And there is no other besides me. And you guys need to stop trying to figure out how to build a church. I'm the church. And you need to put me first, and you need to glory in me and do what I tell you, and I'll show up for you. Amen. And it don't make a difference. I found out years ago, it don't make no difference. If you're a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, what you are, God will talk to you if you'll love Him and serve Him and worship Him. You know, and there I am, this old Baptist guy. They tell me God don't talk to you. He don't do things. He don't do healings no more. When I began to read this book, I found a whole different ball game. And then I began to read the book. That's just like Dave. When Dave goes off to seminary, he's working in, I think, the last semester of his master's degree in seminary. When they would not let Dave Rosenfeld, they would not let Dave use the Bible as his text. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And let's start out here a few places today, and let's see what God says we're supposed to do. And we got to realize, of course, some people say, like that deal on ABC the other night, you know, the Bible is not real. It's just a bunch of words that a bunch of men put down, and some of it may be right, some of it may be wrong. So you can pick and choose what you want. Now, I'm going to tell you, one of the preachers that was on there used to be on TBN, and I thought he was a great preacher for years, but since TBN has thrown him off, and after listening to him the other night, I know why he's no longer there. His name is Carlton Pearson. He used to be a great teacher of God's Word, but he's the one that said, you know, that God's kind of mystical. You know, that some of the Bible's true and some of it's not. So you pick and choose, the commentator said. He said, yeah, I pick and choose what I want to believe from God's Word. Okay, you want to know why he's got a problem? Look what he says in Deuteronomy 6:5. And you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Oh, that's if you want to or you feel like it. If I want to go to church, I have freedom in America. I can go to church if I want to. I don't want to go to church. I don't have to go to church to serve God. How many times you heard people say that? Oh, I hear it all the time. You're a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. You go to church? No. You tithe? No. Do you walk in love? No. I mean, you've been divorced before? Only 5 times. You know, I'm not in bad shape. Only been married and divorced 5 times. I see that and deal with those kind of people every day of my life and what I'm doing. And you want to know why you got a problem? And you shall love. What if I don't love Him? Hey, I got a problem. I'm going to be sick or I'm going to die early. I guarantee. And that's what's happening to the world today. That's why I'm going to tell you, I don't care who hears this tape. I don't care what happens. That's why that airplane crashed in that graveyard right beside the tomb of the unknown child. Because the man that owned that airplane and paid the millions for it, he made those millions aborting children. You know, there happens to be a Proverbs 6:16 that God says there are 6 things. No, there's 7 things I hate. And one of them is those that shed the blood of an innocent child. If God hates that, hey, I don't know why He got by with it as long as He did. But all I can say, God is merciful. He took the life of His little tiny grandchild, thinking that maybe I'll get through to this guy. But He didn't. And 4 or 5 years later, whatever it was, or 2 years later, whatever it was, oh, He sent somebody to his house every week to tell him, stop killing these babies. No, he ain't listening to that. And so God said, okay, if you're not going to listen, I'll just take out your whole family. Somebody said, you tell him you think God crashed that airplane, I'm going to tell you God's hand was on it. He put that airplane right where He wanted it. He crashed that airplane. God is in control of everything. Until you get that in your spirit, that God is in control, just like He says, I'm in control. There is no other besides me. You only got one on this earth to make happy, isn't that right? You got one. You make Him happy, there ain't nothing He won't do for you. He will answer like that Psalm Dave read up there a while ago. If you're obedient, God will answer how many of your prayers? All of them. All of them. Now, if you're not obedient, but he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Deuteronomy 10:12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, that doesn't mean 95%. With how much?
All.
So, I don't feel like going to church this Sunday. I don't feel like tithing this Sunday. I don't feel like walking in love this Sunday. I'm going to get mad at my wife this Sunday. Or I'm going to get mad at my husband. I'm going to get mad at my sister this week. She done something really bad to me. Or one of my companions didn't do something I like this week, so I'm going to be mad at them. Joseph said something I don't like, so I'm going to get mad at him. I mean, is that what we do in the church? People do that, don't they, Joseph? They do that. Is that what God told us to do? No. You know, and so we do that, and guess what? It makes us sick. And we get sick, and we get weak, and our children die, and everything, because we don't do what he said. Where he says, now Israel, he could put your name right there. And now Thurman, what does the Lord thy God require of you? But to fear the Lord. I mean, if you don't fear God, you got something loose up here. Because he's God, isn't he? You know what God's got to do to kill you? The same thing he did with that airplane. They say, right here, I've had it with him. Bam. And that, isn't it, don't you think that's unique that that airplane crashed right beside the tomb of the unborn child, 500 foot off the end of a runway? And just happened to be the man that owned the airplane, owned all those abortion clinics and is killing thousands of children every day in America? You know, as I was reading all this from one of the abortion organizations, they said every 20 seconds, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a child dies in an abortion. Every 20 seconds. I think how quick that is. The other day, Dave and I was flying across Fort Worth. We was flying one of our fast airplanes, and I'm descending across Fort Worth, and I'm going about 230 miles an hour. Yeah, that's not normal, you know, driving in your car, you know, if you drive 40 or 50, you know, but you don't think about driving in a car 230 or 240 miles an hour. But that's how fast I'm descending across Fort Worth. And Dave says, Thurman, in 3 miles, you've got to be below 3,000 feet. See, we got all, there's all kinds of rings up here that you can't see from the ground that you have to fly in certain areas to be. He said, in 3 miles, you have to be below 3,000 feet. I said, okay. And by the time I got it out, he said, now then, in 2 miles. He said, no, that can't be right. I just said 3 miles. And he said, no, in 1 mile. And I'm going down like crazy. He said, my land, some of this can't be right. I said, Dave, at 240 miles an hour, we're covering a mile every 15 seconds. You think, wow. You got 3 miles. Now then, if you're out here in your car and say, it's only 3 miles up there to the restaurant, how long does it take you to get there? About 15 minutes. But you ain't flying 240 miles an hour like I was. And Dave said, you got 3 miles. You got 2 miles. You got 1 mile. He said, this can't be right. I said, yeah, Dave, I'm going 240 miles an hour. And just think, for every mile, every time Dave said you got one less mile, one child died. That's staggering, isn't it? Every 20 seconds, a child in America dies at the hands of an abortionist. And you want to know why this country is being judged by God? I don't have to even think about it. I know why we're being judged. And you know, I don't know what the percentage is, but a lot of those abortions are taking place in the church. Many a person in the church that says they're a Christian has killed one or more children with an abortion. I'm telling you, God don't like it. If you've aborted children, I can assure you, somewhere down the line, you'll have problems with your children. You won't like it. But I'm going to repent. I'm telling you, you're still going to have problems. And you ain't going to like what's going to happen. God expects us to be holy. He expects us to walk in obedience to His Word. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. 11, 1. Deuteronomy 11, 1. Therefore, you shall love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. How long? Forever. Verse 13 through 28 of Deuteronomy 11. 13 through 28. Deuteronomy 11, 13. And it shall come to pass. Isn't that something? Every time God says, and it shall, He means that. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commands, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Are you beginning to get the idea that He demands you and me to put Him first? I mean, we've only hit four or five places so far, but these are just a few places. He put it in there so everybody would find it. It's not if you want to, or if you feel like it. It's a command from our King. Now, you don't have to. You can be sick and afflicted and tormented. You know, it's your choice. You don't have to obey God. But you will pay the consequences. And He says, that I will give you the rain. In other words, if you love me and you love the Lord your God and do all the things you said and love Him and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then that I will give you the rain of your land in His due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and your oil. Now 15 and 16. And I will send grass in your fields for your cattle, that you mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Now, if we obey Him, so far do you like the blessing? I mean, I like it, you know, when He sends the cattle and the grass and the rain and all the stuff. And, of course, if you had been down like we have lately down in central Texas, we've been down there a couple times lately, and you can see how dry it was down there. I mean, there flying over, there's no water. Only unless it was a big lake is there water. Other than that, all the little tanks and stock ponds were dry. There was no water. I mean, there was no grass. It was dead. Some of you may have heard that, you know, the central part and southern part of central Texas has been declared a disaster area because there's no grass. Why do we have to go through these droughts? Because we don't obey God. It's that simple. Then He says in the Lord's, and when the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, whose wrath? Do you want Him to have His wrath? You want to get a spanking from God? I don't want one. I don't want one. I'm telling you, when you get a spanking from God, you will not like it. I can tell you for sure. And then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you, and He will shut up the heavens that there be, how much rain? No rain. No rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives you. You're going to perish? Wow. Therefore shall you lay up my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, verse 19 and 20, and you shall teach them to your children. Now, if there's any place the church of the living God that I've been associated with my life has failed, it's the husband, the father, not being the spiritual leader in the home. I don't hardly know any man that says he's a Christian that sits down every night with his children and teaches them God's word and prays over his kids and tells his little children that God is in control. Almost nobody does that. I wouldn't have done that. But in 1977, the first time God ever spoke to me in my life, that's what he told me. I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, when he said, "Son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses." That's the first time I ever heard God's audible voice. He spoke to me audibly, and I didn't tell anybody about that for 8 years because I knew if I went to church in my Baptist church where I was a Sunday school teacher and a deacon, if I told somebody God spoke to me and told me to do something, they'd lock me up down in Terrell in about a day. You're crazy. God don't speak to people no more. Let me tell you, he does. He does talk. I've heard his voice, not once, many times since then. But I now am not ashamed to say God spoke to me and I heard his voice. I know God speaks, and he tells us what to do. But he told me what to do and to do it for my children. And I took him at his word that night. And that night, I had never, at that time, never prayed at home with my wife, my children. How many men do you know that don't pray with their wives? Not very many, are they? Almost none of them. Almost none. Oh, they got time to watch sports on the TV if they happen to be a sports nut. They know who all the Cowboys are if they live in the area. You know, they know who all the whatever different, they know how many yards they've made rushing. You know, they've known all that kind of stuff. But ask them, just name the apostles for me. What? There's a whole bunch of those guys. Yeah, there was 12. Well, who could ever learn them? Well, can you name the boys that plays on both offense and defense for the Dallas Cowboys? Oh, yeah. And let me tell you how many yards they run, how many tackles they've made. How can they do all that? They're making football their God. They're not putting God first. You know, a man of God. I mean, I remember one time back yonder I started to tell this story and I can't even think what the guy's name is now, but I'll think about it, Lord. You'll bring it to my mind. Well, anyway, the Dallas Cowboys had just gone to the Super Bowl. Thank you. You can tell I'm a football nut, can't you? They had just gone to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. And I'm an engineer, and I happened to show up at one of our operations on Monday morning in Kansas City. And I'm walking down the deal, and the guy says, "Hey, Scrivener, what do you think about your man... Staubach, that's what he said, not Roger. He said, Staubach." I said, "Who is he?" He said, "You're from Dallas?" I said, "Well, yeah, from the Dallas area." "You don't know who Roger Staubach is?" I said, "Sir, I don't believe I ever heard that name." He said, "I don't believe this." I said, so what is he? He said, "He's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys." I said, "Oh, okay, I have heard of the Dallas Cowboys. I've heard of them, but at that time I'd never been to see one of them." You know, only after my son came along and became a football nut, I told him I'd take him one game a year here when they're at home. And that's my only touch with the Dallas Cowboys. I took him because he loved football so much. I did take him, but I didn't talk about football at home. I talked about the Word of God. And from 1977 on, I read the Word of God to my children every night. I prayed over my children every night. I was obedient to God's Word. But he not only is speaking out of his Word telling me to do that to my children, who is he speaking to telling you to do that? Every man of God. Is that right? What does he say here? "And you shall teach them to your children." Speaking of them when you set us in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, And when you rise up, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Do you think God's trying to get mine and your attention? It's important to teach your children about me? I think, Scott, he wants these three lovely little children yours to know about him, don't you think? You know that. And Scott's doing that. You know, Dave's doing that. They talk about God's Word. We sat down in our kitchen to have a meal. We don't talk about the football boys. We don't talk about the things of the world. We talk about our God in this place. We don't have any televisions in this place. Isn't that something? Have no televisions hooked up to outside. You know, only televisions we got are these right here, these monitors that we use for the Word of God. But that's what we do. But the Lord tells us, let's go on to verse 23 and 24 here, Dave, that your days may be multiplied. Now, if you do what God says, look what He says He'll do. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children will be multiplied. Now then, do you want you and your children to live a long, healthy life? Well, see, it's all based around obeying God, isn't it? I mean, it's real clear. That you're, in other words, if you obey me and do what I say and you teach them to your children diligently, then your days may be multiplied. In other words, you're going to have more days on the earth, and the days of your children will be multiplied. That's what he's saying. In the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, how many of you would like to have days of heaven on the earth? Amen. No sickness, no disease. Prosperity, you raise your garden and it rains down on it at the right time. You go out there and pick them big old luscious, everything, tomatoes, asparagus, you know, beans, everything. I mean, you go out there and your garden is flourishing. I remember one time we hadn't had any rain here, and that's when I was going to the Baptist church up in Justin, and I told them one night, I said, guys, before we dismiss, it's Sunday night. He said, and the pastor prayed a prayer and dismissed. Nobody come down for nothing. So I said, wait a minute. I said, before we dismiss, I said, we need some rain. I said, we haven't had any rain. I said, and God answers prayer. Why don't we as a church come together and ask God to bless us with rain? Well, it's like they didn't want to. And I thought, what's wrong with us? I mean, you know, I guess obviously we don't think God answers prayer. But I was so bold about it, the pastor said, okay, Thurman, you can pray a prayer, and then we'll go home. So I got up on the platform, and I asked God to be merciful to us, forgive our sins, and send rain. And I praised Him and thanked Him for the rain. And about 3 days later, I got 2 inches. I mean, my grass come up, and about 2 weeks later, the pastor said something on Sunday night. See, well, you know, Thurman, he asked us to pray 2 weeks ago, and ain't nothing happened. He said, we didn't get no rain. I said to him, what do you mean? I got 2 inches 3 days later. Didn't y'all get any? And didn't nobody get none but me. I got 2 inches of rain. Now, can God bring a rainstorm right over your place? I'm telling you, He can let it rain right up to your fence line and your neighbor not get nothing. I remember one time there was a plague going across Oklahoma. And, of course, John Hagee, I heard him tell this story. He said his daddy and granddaddy and all of them were Pentecostal preachers, you know. And he said that his granddaddy got out there and said that locust was coming across, those grasshoppers. They were eating everything that was green. And he said he got out there and he said, God, you promised me that if I'd be obedient to you, you'd protect my property. And he said he walked around his fence line and said, Lord, I'm going to hold you accountable to your word. I've been your servant. I'm your son. You promised them grasshoppers would not eat a blade of grass off mine, and I'm standing on your word in the name of Jesus. Hagee says the grasshoppers come right up to the border, went right around that place and eat everything there was and left his field untouched. Now, does God honor faith? Now then, what about all them other people? Some of them had to be Christians, probably went to his church, but they wasn't listening. They didn't get it. And so they got their crops eat up. Now this says, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. I can't think of anything better than having days of heaven on earth and having a long, healthy life. Can you? Amen. No sickness, no disease. Just look at Joseph here. He just said a while ago, what did you say? You were almost 80? Is that what you said, Joseph? 79 and a half or something like that? Look at him. He's well, walking, running, playing. Praise God. I mean, we're grateful you know, that he can be like that. He's like a young man, you know. I will have to agree with him. There's one thing he needs to do, some exercise. You know, he said he wanted to lose a little of that weight around the middle. Well, it wouldn't hurt him if he did lose a little of it. But I don't know why God let him fast for 40 days and didn't take some of that off. Do you, Joseph?
He added a couple of pounds.
Wow. I don't understand that. That's probably what he's going to do. Yeah, that's probably what he's going to do. Because all we got to do is trust him and he'll make it happen. Right, Joseph? I guarantee, trust him, he will make it happen. Because, you know, y'all all remember, next year when you see Joseph and he's lost 20 or 30 pounds, you're going to say, hey, is that right? Praise the Lord. He'll do it. I know he will. Verse 22, for if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you. What? Diligently. Diligently. Not flippantly. You know, not reading the Word once a month or coming to church once a month or on Christmas and Easter. That ain't going to get it. For if you shall diligently keep all these commands, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Now see, you cleave unto him, walk in his ways. Let's see what he says he'll do in verse 23 and 24. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Then the Lord, it says, if we obey him and do everything he says and we're diligent, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. Who's going to drive them out? Now you think you and me are going to drive them out? Ain't no way. Until we obey God and do what we're supposed to do, then he says he will drive them out of our nation. He'll drive them out. The Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. As long as you put me first, he says. That's a requirement. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Wow, awesome, isn't it? From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. 25 and 26. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon. And he has said unto you, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. See what 27 and 28 says. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord. Wow, everybody wants to live in the blessings, don't we? Which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. 29 and 30. No, that's it. 28. Yeah, 28. That was the last. We'll go ahead and read that. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessings upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the campaign over against Gilgal, besides the plains of Morah? So what's God going to do if you obey? He's going to bless your socks off. And I like that, don't you, Joseph? I love to be blessed. When I get to be 80 years old, I want to be strong just like him. You know, you see where I'm coming from? Obey God. In fact, you know, it's something. I was reading in the Catholic Bible last night. I read all 19 chapters of the Book of Wisdom last night. It's an extremely good teaching. And I thought in chapter 1 and chapter 2, where I was reading, it confirmed many other things I'd read in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But it says there, when God made man, he created him to be immortal. Do you believe that?
Yes.
When God made man and woman, did he put them on this earth and expect them to live forever? He sure did. They weren't supposed to die. Wow. You know, and then he makes statements about us under the new covenant. Now, we can't even go there. We can't believe this. It says now then, it also says in that Catholic Bible and the Book of Wisdom, it says that God will not inhabit a person that's sinning. So why is God never here in most of us? We were sinning. We're not obeying Him. We're not doing what He says. And then we go to these promises of John 8:52. Is that where it's at, Dave? John 8. This is something I didn't have in my outline. I hadn't taught this in a long time. Let's go to John 8:52 and see what that says. Yeah, that's the one. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall never see death. Ooh! Is that a kicker? Somebody said that don't mean what it says. In other words, Kim, if you obey me in everything, now then, do you know anybody who's ever obeyed him in everything? Not yet. What a goal to shoot for, huh? Did God create man in the beginning to be immortal? Do you think He would still like for us to be that way? Yep. He don't want us to die. He says many places in the Word, God does not want His children to die. He does everything to keep them from sin so they can live long. Well, what is long? Somebody says, it's impossible to live 100 years anymore. No. No, I mean, in the beginning, how long did Methuselah live? 969. Was there anybody else that lived anywhere close to that long? All of them. All of them. They all lived 900 years. Somebody died at 150, 200 years old. Like Enoch, he was only 352, I believe, when God took him. They said, he's a mere child. But he walked with God. And it says, God loved him so, he come down and says, oh, I just can't be without you, Enoch. God put his arm around him and said, come on. And it says, and Enoch was no more. God took him home. 365. A mere 365 years. We got to get off of this mentality. Well, you know, I'm 60. I'm old. I can't make it no more. I mean, you hear people talking like that? All the time. Yep. You hear people all the time. Well, I'm 40. I'm over the hill. I mean, seriously, have you heard anybody lately say, how old are you? Oh, I don't want to tell you how old. I'm so old, I'm ancient. I'm older than dirt itself. How old are you? Well, I'm 48. Don't tell nobody I'm so old. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, what a deal. 48. Isn't that something? What does that scripture say? Jesus said, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall what? I mean, that scripture, I mean, that couldn't be true. Could it? Could it be true? Well, do you want to die early? Well, then just keep sinning. Because sin brings forth. Well, see, we understand that, don't we? So we go out and sin. And the more you sin, the shorter your life becomes. The more you disobey God's word, the shorter and the more miserable and the more torment you go through in your life. I mean, when you see somebody that's, you say, man, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Look at that guy. He's never sick. Here he is, 85 years old already. He's got all the money he needs to sustain him and his family. Look at all them good kids and grandkids and everything else. And what is it that's different about that guy? I said, man, that's the most awesome man of God I've ever seen in my life. I mean, if you walk up to him and you're there more than 2 seconds, he's going to talk to you about Jesus. Oh, we need a lot of men like that, don't we? But he's young and he's vibrant. He's on fire. For Jesus, not for the football games, you know, not for the things of the world. He don't have to get home and watch his favorite soap opera on television this afternoon. Oh, I can't go to church because I got to watch my soap opera. Isn't that a shame? If you are a Christian man or woman and you got a television in your house and you watch a soap opera, I got to say, shame on you. Turn that nasty thing off. Well, but I like it. I'm going to watch it anyway. Okay, go ahead. Die at 40 or 50. It's okay. And then you might not get to go to heaven. I don't know. You know. So, but I can assure you, you're going to be sick if you're feeding that junk into it. But John 8:51, Jesus said, I say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, That's pretty awesome, isn't it? And then John 11, 25 or 6, I think, Dave. John 11, I think it is, 11, 25 and 26, somewhere along there. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? No, we don't believe that. You ask the average person. I mean, just I started teaching people that it was possible to get healed from their sickness. And they said, you're crazy. But then I got a little further into this and I thought, I can teach you how to walk in divine health, girl. Not only did I get her healed, but that woman sitting right there was a basket case when she came to me the first time years ago. Couldn't even drive her own car. And now then, she's not a basket case anymore. That woman's teaching the Word of God. She got into the Word of God. She done what God told her to do in that book. And that woman, from a basket case and brain tumors and everything else, is on fire for Jesus and totally well, walking in obedience to God's Word. And you don't, when you talk to her, say, well, Sharon, how long you think you're going to live? She said, I ain't going to never die. I'm going to live forever because I'm going to obey the King. See? You're getting where you believe that, aren't you? Isn't that amazing, the promises that God put in His Word? If we obey Him under the new covenant, and whosoever... Is that Thurman and Joseph? Does that include you and me, Joseph? Yeah. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? No. No, we don't believe that. You ask the average Christian, do you think you can get healed? Well, if it's God's will. Do you think it's possible for you to walk in divine health? When I received Jesus as my personal healer 25 years ago and walked into a place of business, and I was screaming that one. I said, praise God, you guys and gals are looking at a guy that received Jesus Christ as his healer last night. I said, I ain't never going to be sick again. And one of them was a Baptist preacher. And they said, now Thurman, you know, you've gone off the deep end. You know everybody has to be sick. I said, you guys can be sick if you want to, but I ain't going to. Do you have to be sick? Does your babies have to be sick?
No, sir.
Hey, even the babies are shaking their heads. They don't believe that either. Praise God. It's good to be well, isn't it? All you got to do, what do we have to do? Is there a requirement to walk in divine health? And what is that requirement? Obeying the King. Is that right? Loving the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All your heart. That means you got to not be ashamed of Him. That means you got to be talking about Jesus. That means you got to be in the Word. The Word's got to be in you. You got to be talking about it. You can't be a passive Christian and live an abundant life. You got to be on fire for Jesus. But these two scriptures we talked about in John 11 and John 8, those are just a little more than the average Christian can stomach. Isn't that true? But who said that? Thurman? No, Thurman read it out of God's Word. Who said it? I'm just repeating what Jesus said. Is that right? So if you don't believe you can live forever, take it up with Jesus. He's the one who said you could. Now, you can't living in unbelief. I mean, just like when He come to His disciples, they said, Lord, why could we not cast out this devil out of this boy? He said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what I did to that boy, but you can speak to that mountain and command the mountain to be removed from there into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart what you say, you will have whatever you say. That's almost a little more than we can stomach too, isn't it? But is it written in God's Word? So what is the limiting factor here for us that are children of God? We're not in the Word. We are, just like Anne's pointing at herself there. I'm the problem. I am. We are the problem. When you get into the Word, just think. Here was this radical Southern Baptist guy that started believing that he could get people healed. And he went out and met with people in their own private homes, and I got people healed all over the place. And still today, I run into people every once in a while. Thurman! I said, who are you? Oh, I'm so-and-so. You came to my house 15 years ago. In fact, whenever God brought Cheryl into my life and she began to tell people she was going to marry Thurman Scrivener, she met people that said, oh, he come to my house 15 years ago and got my wife healed of terminal cancer. He went to my sister's house and got her healed of terminal cancer. She thought, wow. But see, that's back in the days when I was still a Southern Baptist. Whenever the Baptists were sick and they weren't hearing what God's Word said, so I went personally, one-on-one, and spent 4 to 5 or 6 hours in their home showing them what God's Word says, and I got these people healed. Changed their life forever. I was slowly becoming that radical Christian. The one that believes I can do what God said I can do. Isn't that wonderful? And then I stepped off in the world, but well, God, not only can I get these people healed, but if I teach them to obey your word says if they'll obey you, they don't have to be sick. Well, now boy, did I catch some flack there. Are you telling me that I'm sick because of sin? Yes. Now, I ain't believing that. Thurman, you're crazy. No, I ain't crazy. God said, if you obey me and do everything I say, I will take all sickness away from you and you will have none. Now, did he mean that? He sure did. And so then later in my studies, I finally stepped over into that world. Hey, not only have I been able to accept Jesus as my healer and able to walk in divine health. Now for 25 years, but you know, the king said, if I totally obey him and do everything, and I know that's going to be a kicker, I'll never die. Is that what he said, Edna? Was that written in the book? Do we believe that? Now, she says yes, but I think she's like me. I think she's lying. I think her head's saying that, just like my head can say that, but it's got to make a little trip, doesn't it, Jack? My heart's got to know that. You know, we can say that, Edna, because we've seen it on the board. He said it, right? But for me to get that little thing from here to here, where I can really do what it says, I have to obey him in how many things? That means I've got to stop sinning. Is that right? That means I've got to walk holy before him. And we're going to quit on this last verse. We're going to go to 1 Peter 2:21 through 24, and then we're going to quit for today. I want to show you what the Scripture says in 1 Peter 2:21. The Lord spoke to me one day. I'm walking down a hall, an aisle in a healing school, and I quoted 1 Peter 2:24. I probably did that 1,000 times. And that day he said, son, would you please read verse 21 before you read verse 24? I thought, Lord, I don't know what verse 21 says. He said, I know. That's why I want you to read it. I've been reading verse 24 forever, and I got it memorized the last half. But the first part I didn't know. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, once Jesus came to this earth and died and rose again, he walked on this earth in perfectness, leaving you and me an example that you should be just like Jesus. Is that right? Your goal should be to be just like Jesus. In how many things? All things. Now, how hard is that going to be, young lady? This girl's got the truth up here. It's going to be hard. I guarantee it ain't going to be easy. In fact, it's probably the hardest thing any human being could ever do. But look what he said. Who did how much sin? Now, how much sin? If you and me want to live forever, how much sin can we have? Once you get washed in the blood, you got to stop sinning. Somebody said, I can't do that. Okay, you ain't going to live long. You're going to have sickness and disease. Is that right?
That's right.
It's going to come upon you. Because sin brings forth death. I mean, that's real clear, isn't it? We've heard that, but we don't never put it together, most of us, that when we sin, it's going to release demons on us that's going to bring forth death. I mean, we just don't see that. So we think, well, I'm just like this because I'm getting old. No. It's sin. I mean, you see a 40-year-old man that's crippled up and can't walk and he's got cancer and everything else, and you bring him, or, well, I'm sure I'm one much older than that. Here, this beautiful young lady, when she was about 40-something years old, came to me and she couldn't even drive her car. I told her, she said, I've been prayed for by at least 200 people and nothing's ever happened. Is that what you told me, Sharon? Yeah. I said, well, young lady, the reason nothing happened because you didn't get rid of your sin. What? I mean, whoever heard that story? I said, now, you got to confess every sin and repent of every sin. And so I never heard nobody talk about this. I said, but he forgives all of your iniquities, and then he heals all of your diseases. So I said, you confess every sin. So she started confessing sin. But she repented of all of her sins. I prayed for her, and guess what the King of the universe done for her? He healed her. And it changed her life forever. And of course, well, after she saw her healing come to about, man, you talk about a woman that started hiding God's word in her heart. I mean, every service I had, every healing school I had, every Tuesday night Bible study I had, and in between, she was in the Word of God. This girl was hiding the Word in her heart. Now, why is she so powerful today in her prayer life? Because that's what she's done. Why is all these people that work with us, Rosemary, you know, Pat, all the people that pray with us on a regular basis, why do we see God answer so many of their prayers? Because they know the Word, and they're in the Word. I mean, every once in a while, I mean, since I'm picking on Sharon today, every once in a while, she will just come out of her office and just almost grab me by the neck and say, Pastor, what is wrong with these people? They just can't get it. I said, Sharon, when these people get through with you, they need to feel like they've had a meeting with Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I said, yes, sure. Well, you've got to go. Okay, I repent, Lord, and I go back. She said, but I tell them over and over and over, and they don't get it. I said, I wonder how many times God told you over and over and over, and you didn't get it either till one day, finally, you got it. So I said, be merciful to them. I said, if God wasn't merciful, how many of us would be alive today, Edna? Not one single one, would we? No. I mean, if the first time I sinned, he'd have swatted me and killed me, I'd have died years ago. But he's merciful. Then he says here, this example that we have who did no sin. So you and our desire should be, as Christians, absolutely no sin. Now, if you want to get your prayers answered and walk in divine health and see God do awesome things, you do what he says. And just think, how would you like to live to be 120 or 30 or 40 or 50 years old and still be as good a shape as you are right now? Running and playing, wouldn't that be awesome? Hey, I mean, but did he say that if we obey him, we shall never see death? I mean, that's what he said. But, you know, somebody will explain that one away to you. That's just like when I started teaching on John 20:23, that you can remit people's sins. Oh, my goodness gracious, I had people that just went wild on that one. They went to their pastors and said, Pastor, this new guy out here, Thurman, he says we have the power within us to remit sin. And oh, no, the guy, no, you can't. He said, but look, it's right here. He said, but that's not what it means. It won't work for them, will it? I mean, the other day I got so tickled when Kim, their lights went off at 10 o'clock or 10:30 the other night. And they prayed and everything, but they called the power company and they said by 2 o'clock they'll be back on. So they all go to bed at night, 10 o'clock, 10:30, whatever, with no lights, thinking that 2 o'clock the lights are going to come back on, but they wake up the next morning at 6 or 6:30 and there's still no power. She said, okay, God, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. The power needs to be back on. And she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, remit the sins of this block. And she immediately does just like me. God, I can't remit the sins of everybody in this block. Now, what did he tell her to do? Remit the sins of them. What did the word tell you could do? John 20:20. So she said, oh, God, what am I doing arguing with you? She said, Lord, in Jesus' name, I remit the sins of this block. Bam, the power came back on just like that. Isn't that awesome? The sins of the block were keeping the power from coming on. And when God spoke to her and told her what to do right out of His Word, she's arguing with Him that it can't be done.
So we need to remit the sins of the whole nation.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. We need to be before the face of God saying, God, we lay the sins of these people at Your feet. We remit their sins. We ask You to move on their hearts and begin to touch them and change them. Lord, You said in Your Word, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we, Your people, will repent of our sins and turn from our wicked ways, then You will hear from heaven and You will answer our prayers. Is that what He said? So who's the problem? The church. When the church walks in obedience to God's Word and we're that strong bunch of believers we're supposed to be and we're standing up for God, I think that's just like a guy called me the other day. I got to have prayer. I said, okay, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't have a job. I said, why don't you have a job? He said, well, I'm living at a woman's house. And said every time that I get a little money, she wants more money than I get for a place to live. I said, what are you doing living in a woman's house? I don't have a job. I said, how old are you? He said, 56. I said, so why don't you have a job at 56? I said, are you a Christian? Yes. And you don't have a job? No. I said, do you have any money in the bank? Well, yeah. I said, well, go give a check and get some money. He said, I can't write a check. I don't have a checkbook. I said, Buster, you're lying to me every way in the world. I said, you don't have to have a checkbook. If you got money, you can go down there and they keep checks right there. You can write a draft and tell them you want $50. They will give it to you if it's in your bank account. This guy was lying to me everywhere, and I finally told him. He said, you're not very compassionate. I said, let me tell you something, Buster. If you're 56 years old and you ain't got money in the bank and you tell me you're a Christian, I'm going to tell you you're under a curse from God and you're not obeying the King. I said, God promised in His Word, if you obey Me, I will bless you. I said, now you're a lazy, good-for-nothing, and I don't think you're even a Christian. I said, if you want to see God bless you, you're going to have to stop living with a woman. You're going to have to start doing what God says. And he said, well, I had to get my driver's license. And I said, it took me from January till now, March, I lost my whole billfold down at some place in Dallas, and it's taken me that long to get a driver's license back. I said, you're lying to me. Anybody can get a driver's license or a birth certificate overnight. And so after that, he hung up on me. Can you imagine? You know what he wanted? He wanted some pastor, a ministry, to feel sorry for him and send him some money. Well, I ain't that kind, compassionate pastor that's going to hand out money to a lazy, good-for-nothing 56-year-old man that's able to work, that's living in a house with some woman and ain't got no money in the bank, and he's lying to you. That guy don't know Jesus. Somebody said, you're not very compassionate. That's right, I'm not very compassionate. But we're going to have to come to a point in our life where we don't have a bunch of weak-kneed, wimpy pastors. You're going to have to tell people why they're in the shape they're in and what they got to do to get over it. Because you take a man of God that's serving God, I know what this book says. This book says, if you will love Me and worship Me and praise Me, I will bless you, and everything you put your hands to, I will prosper it for you, and I will answer every prayer you have if you diligently obey Me. Is that what the book says? No Christian man should be without money. He should have money. He should have enough to meet the needs of him and his wife. And then you ask, well, are you married? No, I'm divorced. Do you see anything wrong with these pictures? Everything's wrong with this picture. Did God say, I hate divorce? He did. A lot of people in the church been divorced. A lot of people. God said, I hate it. He don't like it. Wow. What'd Jack say? You stopped preaching and went to meddling now, Thurman. That's what's wrong, isn't it, Jack? But who said these things, me or Jesus? The king. Did the king say that? Did the king say, if you want to live forever in divine health, you're going to have to do what? Obey me. How many of my commands? All of them. Wow. You think he really meant that? You know he did, don't you? Now then, does he have to be the most merciful and kind God there is? If he wasn't, how many of us would be alive? None of us. I mean, I can look at me and Jack and say, here's two men right here I know ain't going to be here. Is that right, Jack? Me and you know we wouldn't be here if God wasn't merciful over and over and over again. And you know that too, brother, yeah. But thank God he is merciful. But now the thing about it is, he says no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You got to be careful what you say? Oh, yeah. You remember when Paul said, what do you mean, you whitewash wall, for slapping me? And the man says, is that any way to talk to God's high priest? He said, oh, forgive me. I didn't know he was a high priest, because the Scripture says, thou shalt not speak evil of a ruler. Ooh. Ooh. That's scary too, isn't it? Verse 23, 24. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again? And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. How many of you are able to keep your mouth shut when somebody's reading you the Riot Act? In other words, I walk up to Joseph, he's a good gentleman. I'm getting real rough with him. And all of a sudden, I really get upset with him, and he's holding his cool, and then I grab him by the neck and slap him three times. I really make him suffer. How many of you can still stay in that coolness state?
I could be cool enough to knock you down.
You see where I'm coming from? I mean, we're all like that, Joseph.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like that. But Jesus, when they was beating him mercilessly, did he retaliate? No, he's a bigger man than you and me, isn't he? He is a whole lot bigger than me. But then he says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. And if we do all this, then by whose stripes you're healed. If you walk in obedience to verse 21 through 23, if you do what he says by his stripes you're healed. If you walk in obedience to his word, how much sickness and disease do you have to have? None. But you have to walk in obedience to his word. Now, who's with you all the time? Who knows when you get upset with your sister? The Lord, huh? Who knows when you're in a room all by yourself and your sister or sister in Christ done something you don't like? You got off the phone, you said, well, I was nicer, but I'm really burning inside. Who's standing right there with you? The king. And that's not what he wants you to do, is it? No, see, he knows. And that's why we have sickness and disease, because we do not obey him. And it brings sickness and disease. But if we will just repent and walk in love, is he merciful? Will he forgive us? And then will he restore us? Yes, he will. He will restore us. Wow. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, you put some tough stuff in this book for us. I mean, it's tough, but it works. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you've given us this word. Now then, Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit every day this week, that we can walk where you want us to walk. I ask you to convict every one of us where we need to be convicted of your word. Teach us your word. Teach us how to stand on your word. Really stand so we can walk in health, our children will be healthy, and you will bless us with long, long, healthy life. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for all these promises that's in your word. What a mighty God you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us for our shortcomings. Lord, we remit our sins to you as well as the sins of the nation. We remit the sins of the world. We lay them at your feet. We ask you to be merciful and bring people into knowledge of the kingdom of God. That this nation once again may become an awesome nation. Now, Lord, we know, regardless of what you're going to do, that you're going to protect your obedient children. Even if there's devastation comes, and even if war comes to this soil, and it may very well happen, I know you're going to bless us and watch over us and protect us. You're going to show us what to do, and we're going to do what you say, and the wicked will fade away just like you say. But we will be left. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.